So the texts today are focused on proclamation, on even more importantly, the sending out of us, the sending out of the original disciples, and the sending out of all of God's people to proclaim and to bear witness to what Christ has done, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that's where we'll start, and where we will also end today is in the Gospel of John, with Jesus appearing after the resurrection and saying twice, "Peace be with you. Now I'm sending you even as I have been sent." It all begins, though, with worship. And what a beautiful psalm we have today in Psalm 96. Get that out. You've got a copy of it in front of you. Psalm 96. Just take a look at some of the verbs here. The verbs of this beautiful song of proclamation even to the ends of the earth, to all the nations in the world. Sing, 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 tell, declare. And then in 7, ascribe, ascribe, worship, stand in awe, tell it, rejoice, be joyful, rejoice, because the Lord is going to come and he's going to judge the peoples. What a beautiful thing. Notice how much of this is coming from God's people as praise. It's praise, it's singing, it's rejoicing, it's a thankfulness. I came up in a tradition that emphasized obligation and things that ought to be done. Now, is there a place for things in our life, a place in our lives for things that ought to be done? Yes, certainly there are. Ought doesn't end up making a great motivation in the long term. In fact, when we do things, especially whenever we try to share good things with other people out of a sense of obligation, it gets all weird and bad. I can give you an example. My kids, we have enough of them, and our house is just big enough, even in the larger, you know, out in the yard. I often, and so many times this happens, I had a hard time thinking of a particular instance where I have to ask one of my children to say, go and tell one of the other children what they need to do. You know, come to dad, I have something that they need to do or that they maybe need to stop doing. Sometimes that motivation can be, yes, I am now under orders from dad and I will go and I will tell, with a little smugness, dad said that you have to come in because he told me to tell you that you're not supposed to do that. You know, that kind of just very, guess who I represent right now? I am doing this because I was told to and because I get to.
That's not the right way to do it. That's not the intention. That's not the heart. So what then is the motivation? Well, that's why it begins with worship. It comes from this singing, this rejoicing. Maybe if you take the same analogy, if instead of correcting or sending one of my children out, it's time for dinner and mom has made something really good. There's this good news, this good thing that you get to go and herald to the others and bring them in. And it should be done in the same spirit, so that worshiping the Lord and singing to him and praising him and seeing all the good things that he has done, recognizing the ways that he's benefited the world and us as individuals and the community that we're in, and the potential for blessing in places maybe that do not yet recognize him, that's the motivation, is our worship and the potential worship of others. It's for his glory and his name. So we start with worship. We start with singing and declaring and ascribing to the Lord. In John, when Jesus says that he is sending out the disciples, can you imagine being more sent than being sent as the Father sent the Son? You don't get more sent than that. He sent his Son, begotten, not made, to come and dwell among us, to live among us, to eat and drink and sleep and talk and walk and give and to be resented and to be crucified and to be raised again to newness of life so that we too can have newness of life. It's in that way that Christ has sent us into the world. That sounds way bigger than me. Hope it sounds bigger than you. And that's why Jesus had to tell, breathe on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this alone. In Matthew's version of the Great Commission, he says, go out into all of the world, baptizing them, teaching them what I've commanded you, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. He is with us. The Holy Spirit came and descends on Pentecost and empowers his people to speak in different languages in amazing ways. And then they go out from there and the church just expands and expands and expands, not because there was a dutiful, we've been told to do this, so now we better get to it. That's there. But the motivation is worship, and the empowerment is the Holy Spirit to send us out to worship as Jesus worshiped. The way that Jesus described his own work in the world was he only did what the Father told him to do. He listened to the Father. In the same way, if we go out into the world not listening to the Father, we're going to really mess it up. But going out, listening to the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are given power far beyond ourselves, confidence far beyond ourselves. One place we can look to see what it looks like to be sent out like Jesus is Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, the reading for today from the Old Testament. The Spirit of God is upon me, says Isaiah, but also very prophetically, he says, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful dress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Does any of that look familiar? There's a few ways. In fact, you could probably just unpack each of these statements as it goes on, even in Isaiah 61, and point to ways that Christ's ministry was manifest in this. Just a few low-hanging examples. You see in verse 3, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching this truth. They will be planted by the Lord, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, it's a different image, but that why would oaks be a way of demonstrating to the world? Well, that shows, that's another way of saying city on a hill, or a light that's put on a stand and gives light to all who are in the house. It's this proclaiming, heralding up so everyone can see it. Let your light shine so that others can see it. And give glory to who? To you and the good things you know. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I see that, the putting us up in a high way so that people can see the life of those that are following Christ, those filled with the Spirit. Even more specifically, though, some of you that were nodding maybe, where do we see this passage? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. This is the passage that Jesus read and then went and sat down, and everybody looked at him. He didn't read as much as we thought he was going to read. And he says, today, this was fulfilled in your presence. Jesus said, this is the way that I was sent. So we can be confident that Isaiah 61 is the way that we also have been sent into the world because we've been sent by Christ in the same way that the Father sent the Son. So we are about the work of proclaiming the good news, especially to those that are broken, those that are poor in spirit, those that are bound up. Do you know any people like that? I don't know as many people like that as I should. And I had never seen this way before, but whenever I looked at the passage, our gospel reading of the disciples after the crucifixion, they're afraid, hiding. And what was the situation they were in? The doors were locked. And that's a significance for a few reasons. That's of significance because it shows Jesus coming into the room. But for the first time, as I was reading and meditating on this being sentness of us as the church, I've got a lot of locked doors. I'm cloistered away from the world in a lot of ways. I'm maybe because I'm scared. Maybe because I'm scared what the world will do to my family or what the world might do to me. Maybe I'm just busy. And what is it that Jesus says to the disciples? Peace. Peace. This is awesome. You don't have to live behind locked doors. Is it appropriate to take care of your family, to safeguard certain things? Absolutely. But there's a big difference between doing that out of fear and doing it out of preserving what is right and good. So I put that out there to you. Are there ways that your life is locked up, doors that you have that are locked? And Jesus is saying, peace. Don't live in fear. You can be sent out. I'm sending you out. So it starts with worship. We've been sent out, even as Christ was sent out, even to go and to do this important work, proclamation and comfort, giving gladness where there was mourning, praise where there was brokenness in spirit, building up where things have been broken down, where things are falling apart. That is the state of the world. And that is always been the state of the world since the fall. There are things that might be a little bit unique now. But think of what things were like in Rome. Things were pretty messed up. God's people were so messed up that they killed his son when he came along. It's pretty messed up. There are things that are unique, but they're not so unique that we have to be afraid. If we look again at the song, another thing that impressed me that we didn't cover when we went through it the first time is what the state of the world really is. We are shown in the psalm that let me read it. I'll go to the psalm. We see that in verse 10, God is going to come and judge the peoples with equity. And then in verse 13, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his fullness. There is, I think, a hesitancy in our sharing the good news. I'll say in my sharing the good news, because there is a fear that what if I'm really just kind of giving bad news to people? You know, if it's all news of judgment, if it's all news of what if that just, oh, you're wrong, and things are going badly. Things are going to go very badly for you in eternity. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading this wrongly, but I think in society today, in our culture, there is a reticence to talk about eternal things. It feels a little silly to us, maybe, to talk eternal things. It ought not. It's part of the truth that we've been given. It's part of the reality of what all of us will face. Yet judgment is not only for the future. Judgment is also for now. Verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. Think of the damage that is being done by idols in the world. And they have a lot of different forms, a lot of different ways that they manifest. But they have this in common. They all come to steal and kill and destroy. We don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is what we wage war against. And they are devouring individuals. They're devouring some of our neighbors. They're warring against some of us, against all of us. In some places in the world, they are warring and have got strongholds all the way up to the structural, governmental, economic, cultural, religious levels. Everything is controlled by evil powers. And they just rejoice in the destruction and the despair and the hopelessness. We've all seen it, maybe in smaller portions, maybe in larger portions. But we've all seen it. We all know what it's like. But thanks be to God, He has come so that He can rule in righteousness and in glory. That he can give truth to the places where lies are the way everything is run. We have good news. We have very, very good news that life does not have to be that way. Romans 10 gives us a very Paul kind of insight into how this works. As we look at Romans, there's a lot of talk about proclaiming, like we saw in the Psalms. The words, the hearing, it's a very relational, verbal word coming out of our mouths, kind of an expression. How is it that with the first it starts, is this line of things that have to happen for someone to come to faith or to be in saving faith? First, they have to call. Or maybe last, they have to call on the name of Jesus. They have to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. They have to call out to him. But how can they call on him if they've never believed in him? If he's not in their heart, if it's not there in their heart to even, they're not going to call out if he's not in their heart. And how can they believe if they've never even heard of him, if they don't know his name? If they don't know his stories, they don't know what he did. They don't know what he taught. They've never met someone who knows him. Then they can't believe and they can't call. So they need to hear. And how can they hear? Unless someone goes and tells them. Unless someone is preaching and proclaiming it. If they're not staying and telling the stories. If they're not living out the way that Jesus lived in the power of the Spirit, saying, yes, come be part of this new family. They don't hear it preached, then they won't believe it, and they can't call out. And they can't preach, they can't tell, unless they are sent. And people of God, have we been sent? People of God, have we been sent? Yes, we have been sent. We have been sent even as the Son was sent by the Father. We have a purpose to live in this world. And it's not that my lawn looked good. Who has God put near you that you can tell? And it's World Mission Sunday. So I have to talk about the unreached peoples of the world, the places in the world where there's not a group of people like a beautiful group of people like this that love the Lord and have a story to tell. There are some places where there's no church, where there's no witness, where there's no one that can even say the words in the language that people understand, where there's no Bible written in the words that they can read. Which means that some among us have to be sent to even cross cultural barriers to go to places where there's in that culture no witness at all. And we have done that. We have sent people to the Pashtun. We've sent people, are in the process now of sending people to northern Iraq, to the Philippines, to Mexico, among a native people group there, Mazatec. We have sent people to go out short term, different places, through Samaritan's Purse. We send people on to the Appalachian State campus to work with people or to be involved with the life there, to bear witness. There's so many different ways that we can be involved in that. And one of the main ones is prayer. Every Sunday we pray. Hopefully every day we're praying for those places where there is no witness and praying for opportunities that we, being sent out, can be faithful to what God is calling us to do. So I'll end here. For all of us sent out by Christ into the world as worshipers, as people who so love him that we have a story to tell and we're glad to tell it. I quoted earlier a bit from Ephesians 5 just before the armor of God passage, and now I'm going to read the very last part of that same section where Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all power and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, for each other, for people around the world, for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray for each other and for ourselves that we would boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which we are ambassadors, that we may declare it boldly as we ought to speak.